from the left corner. It's sent around the rim to the near side. DeMello works right goal line. Centers off a stick. Found by Marchessault. He shoots through the open net. He scores! Top of the puck at center. Final seconds winding down. 6 seconds to go. Spezza back at his own end. 2-1-0. Final score in Game 5. Vegas 5, San Jose 3.
Wow, crazy. 3-2. Golden Knights up in the series. Western Conference semifinals. What a hell of a game. Everyone in that record 18,600-plus crowd got to see on Friday night. Me and Mags were part of it, man. Pretty darn cool. Well, hey, here we go on a Sunday. It's Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman. We come your way every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the radio flagship station of the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 a.m. To my right on your radio dial, Jose Valonte holding the Facebook Live camera. We've got all kinds of angles, and as a matter of fact, you can't see it. I think I dropped it, so I'm going to have to get it, but my waving towel is on the ground. I finally got one. I'll tell you about that in a little bit. Also, here is behind the big board, the future Hall of Fame producer, host. Man, you hear him all over Vegas Golden Knights Radio. Produces the T.C. Martin Show, the Vegas Insider Show, and, man, get some great interviews. Got a good one. With Alex Tuch, man, one of the big-time heroes of Friday night's game. Two big goals for the 21-year-old, and we'll hear Mags with that later on. Chris Magnum Chapman, and also coming up on the show today, we've got a couple of pretty cool interviews that we will tell you about as well. And, hey, man, listen, without you, there's never a show. That's the bottom line, right? So pick up the phone if you want. Chime in, man. If you got something to say, give me a call, man, 702-876-1340. That is the studio line. We would love to have you on. And as far as What's on Tap goes, Magnum bailed on me, man, so I can't even play What's on Tap right here for a second, as they can see on Facebook. Man, he had to go get something done.
It happens, I guess. It's live radio, right?
Well, it is live radio, but he's getting I think he's getting us a highlight, man. There's a couple highlights that I want for a little bit later on in the show, and I think he's working on that right now for us. But I'll tell you what, man, as we get into this, it is amazing what the Knights have done. We're going to talk a little bit about that. It's also amazing what a guy in the other playoffs of the four majors right now, obviously two of the playoffs are winding down to the getting ready for their conference finals. And in basketball, man, you've got the Boston Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers looking like we're seeing a repeat of last year's NBA Eastern Conference Finals. And the unfortunate thing is I think you're going to see the same results. Well, it's an unfortunate thing if you're a Boston Celtics fan. LeBron James just decided, well, you know what? I'm going to show you again why I'm the best player in the world. And he did it last night. I don't know if you saw it. Some great basketball yesterday on Sunday. You're not going to get better than overtime with the Celtics and the 76ers. Incredible game. I think breaking the back of the Philadelphia 76ers. As a matter of fact, I think almost justifying a coaching change at some point, because I am blown away by how badly I think that game's been coached. That series has been coached by the 76ers. I think there is no excuse why this team, not that the Celtics shouldn't win the series. Al Horford's playing amazing, and Boston is a very talented young team. But the point is the Celtics shouldn't be doing this. They lost Kyrie Irving, Hayward at the beginning of the season. Their three best players just about are gone, and Al Horford's the old star that seems to be bringing that team along. But, hey, listen, let's move on. I want to get into a segment that's been ruling the show. It's going to keep ruling the show in a little bit. And the bottom line is, I'll tell you this much right now, this goal by James Neal, in my opinion, probably won the series for the Vegas Golden Knights. I believe that.
Ron now goes up the wall. Point shot. Knocked down. Rebound. Score! It's James Neal for Vegas with 3 seconds to go in the first.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Damn straight it starts here, right here in Las Vegas. I'll tell you what, Nightcap today, we're all over this thing. It is truly miraculous. We've said it a bunch of times here. I'm finally getting to do it. This first time I've got a chance to wave a white towel and be the whiteout. Like I said, I can't be a fan and ever do this at the T-Mobile Arena, but internally, trust me, every member of the media that is here from Las Vegas internally is waving a white flag. I mean, it is really, really cool. It's magical. Again, everyone has said it. Frank Harner said on the show the other day, you said it, Mags. As a matter of fact, I heard you on the radio saying it. Whatever adjective you want to attach to it, man, whatever you want to glue to the Vegas Golden Knights right now, it fits. They are the most incredible sports story I have ever seen in my life, bar none. There's nothing like this team. And Game 5, again, did not disappoint. We heard it right before the nightcap intro, James Neal's goal. And I had talked to Chris, we were at practice on Friday. And the question I had asked Gerard Gallant after the practice and the little presser that they do was, you know, how big and important is it to get the first goal and establish a presence? And more than anything else, in my opinion, rattle Martin Jones, because he had his best game of the playoffs in Game 4. And I was terrified. I thought, man, if they can't get one. And the way the first period started, they started strong, and then the Knights really started playing. The Sharks really started playing well. 3 seconds to go, Neal gets that first goal. And, I mean, that absolutely changed the dynamic of the game and possibly the dynamic of the series.
Well, yeah, it did, because it was a little bit of a role reversal, you know, because Game 4, San Jose had scored that goal with about 5 seconds to go. But on the play where they scored the goal, you know, it wasn't like someone just throwing something at the net. David Perron absolutely embarrassed Brent Burns. You know, Brent Burns, not really known for his defensive prowess. Yeah, he's a great defenseman, but he's more known for his offensive game than his defensive game. And David Perron just put the brakes on, just made him keep going, and he was able to get it across the ice. Eric Halla, I think, got a piece of it as well, and then he laid it there for Neal. But, you know, I'm not so quick to say it won the series for them, but it definitely was a huge goal, and it clearly got the team rolling on a good start. And, you know, they played great in that first, you know, period, and it would have sucked for them to not get a goal because of how great they played. But it was a huge goal. I mean, there's no doubt. It probably won the game for them.
I think so. And on top of that, Chris, the other thing, this team, you know, to play so hard and get that goal, they are just relentless. I mean, it doesn't stop from top to bottom. And even the little juggling of the lines and juggling of the lineup that Gerard Gallant does, and it seems like he only does it after a loss. He does a little juggling in there, and again made a few changes that I think were genius. I mean, Spezza, I have not seen a guy. We saw him at practice on Friday. How pumped up was Lucas Spezza to play in this game? And it's like Gallant saw it. He knew it. And that's the magic of coaching when you are pressing the right buttons. And Gallant's been doing it all year.
Well, it also goes with knowing your players. You know, Spezza hadn't played in a long time. Yep. I mean, over a month. You know, and when he had played, he had only played one game because he was hurt right before that. So he spent, you know, basically the last 2 months of the season, I think he injured his hand I think it was the Chicago game that they played in Chicago, which may have been like late February, but you know, he was out for a while, came back, played the one game, and then he came back again. But you know, it's Spezza added something to the lineup that John Merrill couldn't, and that was speed. You know, Merrill is a guy who was willing to take a hit in order to move the puck. But Spezza brings an element of the game that Merrill doesn't, and that's having you know, the speed. And you can see it, and I think, unfortunately, towards the end of the third period, Lucas Spezza kind of ran out of gas a little bit. But, you know, that comes from not playing in 2 months. But I think going forward, he's going to be in the lineup. He should be in the lineup tonight, barring something unforeseen. And, you know, the key for the Golden Knights is, look, Coach Gallant was forced to play basically three and a half lines on Friday night because Will Carrier only played like 5 minutes the entire game.
He got hurt.
He got hurt. We believe.
He got hurt.
Nothing's been confirmed, right. But yeah, we believe he got hurt. And so, you know, when you factor in that he had to do that for basically two periods, he really was only playing three and a half lines. But I think the move to put Oscar Lindberg in the lineup really paid off, because Lindberg showed that he was very hungry and he wanted to contribute. And he had like five or six shots on net, and he had the assist on the second Alex Tuck goal. You know, he got the stretch pass through the neutral zone up to Cody mm-hmm. Eakin, who basically, my comment was, Eakin gave or threw a touchdown pass to Alex Tuck, who basically ran it into the end zone. But it was really, you know, that play was just one of the big highlights of the game. But, you know, the Golden Knights played a great game for 50 minutes. And the what I got in the locker room after the game was, yeah, we're happy we played good for 50 minutes, but we're more upset that we didn't play good for the last 10 minutes.
Brings up a point that I was going to ask you, and Jose Vellante, I want to make sure we get you involved as well. Of course, you're going to be talking to us a little bit about the WNBA, something I'm interested in. That starts today, and again, we'll talk about that down the line. But, Chris, a couple of things that I want to ask you. Number one, another guy that, by the way, another number punched was the number of Ryan Carpenter, also again on Friday night, bringing him back into the lineup, and I think it was a brilliant move.
He got an assist on the Eric Holla goal.
Huge assist on Holla goal, and also he brought a lot of physicality Friday night. I mean, he was one of the more physical Golden Knights. He was hitting everything. He took the hits, and it's his former team. And I think Gallant sees that, and I think maybe taking him out of the lineup for a few games and replacing him with Tatar, which is pretty much who they're rotating in and out between those two guys, I thought was another genius move by the Turk. This guy sells it. He's like, man, this is my former team. You're not going to let me go out there and kick their ass?
Well,
and I really liked it. I liked the move.
I think with Carpenter, you're a lot more limited offensively than you are with Tatar in the lineup.
You are.
You know, Tatar brings a little more, actually a lot more offense to his game than Carpenter. Hasn't quite gelled here. I think that's a move that George McPhee made for the long term. I think he said, hey, this guy could help us win right
he's
now.
Young and talented. 20-goal perennial scorer.
Yeah, he's going to score a lot of goals next year for the Golden Knights, that's for sure. Because he'll have the entire offseason, he'll have entire training camp, and he's going to have a lot of time to get on the same page with these guys, whereas he got here and he was kind of shuffled in, you know, around different lines, playing with different guys every night. Never really had an opportunity to build chemistry with anybody. But one of the things that you'll pick up when you hear Alex Tuck is that, you know, he talked about the chemistry with him and Cody Eakin, you know, where they had played together almost the entire season. And very early in the season, I asked Tuck about playing with Eakin because he was playing with Eakin and at the time Brendan Leipzig. And he said, you know, Cody Eakin brings like it's almost like having a coach on the ice with him because after every shift, Eakin is talking to him and telling him, all right, this is what you're doing right. This is what you're doing wrong. You know, for a young guy like Alex Tuck, to have a guy like Cody Eakin, who's been through this before, who's played in the league a long time, playing next to him and telling him, and Cody Eakin is a guy who he never gets enough credit because
the epitome of a team player.
Because there's no sub, you know, he's not flashy. You know, he's just the guy who shows up every day. He does everything that's asked of him. If they want to move him,
a blue-collar player,
yeah, I mean, he is really a guy who, look, people are like, oh, well, he doesn't have a lot of goals. It's like his job isn't to score a lot of goals. His job is to win faceoffs, which he does a pretty good job of, and he plays in the third line. So you're not going to get 25 goals from Cody Eakin. That's not his job. His job right now is to mentor the young guys, which he's doing right now with Carpenter. He's doing it with Tuck. You know, he's really, I think he's kind of one of the unheralded guys on this team because he does not get the credit he deserves just because he doesn't do things that a lot of people look at as being important, but he really does do a lot of things that are important that just don't show up on the stat sheet.
You know, one thing he doesn't do is he doesn't get scratched, Chris, and there's a damn good reason for that exactly what you said.
And he doesn't commit penalties.
Yeah, well, and you know, and that's something I was going to talk about as well. You talked about Merrill. Part of the reason John Merrill was put on the shelf was for some bonehead penalties he's taken seriously, some untimely, tough penalties. We love Merrill, but that really is the reason I think he was put up. I'll tell you what, if Perron wasn't so damn necessary, and my God, is David Perron one hell of a hockey player, he might have been shelved for a couple of penalties he had that probably cost them game two. So I'm saying right now that, you know, Turk's looking at that. You take a bonehead penalty, you might find yourself on the shelf. And Merrill, for other reasons as well, like you said, Mags, Lindbergh brought a different element that Merrill wouldn't have brought, and that's part of the reason. But again, I still think that, you know, it's the penalties that did it. And one of the things I want to say to you guys, hey, I talked all about this before the Sharks series, about Martin Jones and being a streaky goaltender. And has he proved anything different than that in this series? When this guy is on his game, is on point, he is almost impermeable, as we saw in Game 4. Martin Jones can play between the pipes as good as anybody in the National Hockey League at times. But when you can get that chippy goal past him, or you score first on Martin Jones, it can get into his melon. And that 6 inches between his ears can become mush, and that guy can all of a sudden start giving up some bad goals. I mean, bottom line is, the goal by Erik Haula should have never gone in. I mean, that was a side goal. It was tough. But Marc-Andre Fleury does not leave room between his body and the post for you to get in a shot of that angle, unless it is a bad deflection, maybe off of his back or another player. However, the bottom line is that that does happen to Martin Jones when he is not at the top of his game.
Well, and Jones' save percentage against Golden Knights this year is like 87%. Which is
subpar.
It's subpar. It's bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I would, subpar is giving the guy a lot of credit. It's horrific. He's been pulled 3 times in 4 games or in 5 games at T-Mobile Arena.
I know he has. It's a great thing.
You know, so when they get on him, they're able to really get on. I mean, even the other night, Game 3, they scored 3 goals in quick succession. And really, you know, when they find an opening, they're able to really, I think,
exploit it.
Yeah, yeah, you know, that's the word I was looking for. Yeah, I mean, because I hate to say they're like sharks, they're like crocodiles. You know, when you see a crocodile, when you watch those nature shows and you see the stupid gazelle running through the river, and the crocodile, you see one come and take it down. Before you know it, there's 6 or 7 of them all.
Teamwork, baby.
Ripping
teamwork.
It apart.
That's,
you know,
good,
and that's what they do.
Good.
I mean, I have seen it time and time again this year where they get that first goal and all of a sudden it gives them such a life. They're able to put, they may not score right away, but they pick their game up so quick. They're able to put 4 or 5 shots in succession on goal at that point. So, you know, they really are like that crocodile. You know, they get that taste of the gazelle, and all of a sudden, they go into a frenzy. It's like throwing a chicken leg in the Amazon River where there's piranhas. You know, they are relentless.
They really are. They're relentless in their pursuit, and they are relentless in their. They're all technicians. They play together, and I said this as very often, I'm going to keep saying it, as well as any team I've ever seen in hockey. The theory is, crash the net. Put as many pucks as you can in the net. The Golden Knights make the extra pass.
Well,
typically, I would say, like we talked about it before, in basketball, you want to make the extra pass. You want the high percentage shot. In hockey, the more shots you take, the higher percentage of goals you're going to score. It's simple math.
Well, you tire the other goalie out as well.
Well, like I said, fluke shots in basketball, you keep trying to make fluke shots, you're going to lose a lot of games.
Yeah.
In hockey, the more shots you put on the net, fluke goals are going to happen, well, and that's going to win you a game during the regular season.
Yeah, like Erik Haula's goal, you know?
100%.
I mean, that wasn't a goal that a lot of guys are going to score. You know, I mean, but we saw William Karlsson put one in from an impossible angle in Game 2. We saw Haula do the same thing, essentially from the same spot on the ice,
yeah.
just you know, the opposite end of the ice.
Nice that pass was that by Ryan Carpenter.
Yeah, Carpenter, you know. But the big thing that what I notice, because I'm around these guys every day, is there's no crybabies. There's no guys who are above the team. You know, a guy like Tomáš Tatar, he was a star in Detroit, right? He's played 2 games in this series. We're now going into Game 6. He's played 2 of the 4 games. He probably isn't going to play tonight. But every time I talk to him, he's happy, he's upbeat. He understands this is the team that, this is the way it is on this team. You know, Ryan Carpenter, he didn't pout. He sat up in the press box. He watched the fourth game. He got out there in Game 5 and he played his ass off. Oscar Lindbergh, he made his first appearance in the playoffs. This was a guy who had really high expectations coming into the season. He didn't quite get there. He was injured for the last month of the year. He hadn't really played since the LA game when he got hurt. And he comes in and he had some really good looks. I think it was unfortunate that he didn't score because he really had a lot of good shots, and Jones just made great saves on some of his shots, but he didn't pout. You'd see him in the locker room. He was out there on the ice during practice with the scratch guys, and he is having fun. He's smiling. You know, the Brad Hunt, guy hasn't played once in the playoffs. Every time you talk to Brad Hunt, he's the happiest guy in the locker room. There are no divas on this team. Nobody is bigger than the team. You know, and there's guys who have been through these battles in the playoffs, but they understand there's 20 guys who can play every night.
That's it.
That's it. And if you look at the scratch list from the other night, there's about 15 guys sitting in the press box watching because they've called up a lot of the young guys.
Oh, Cody Glass was there. I saw Suzuki right outside the locker room after the game. Yeah, that was cool.
So, you know, they have all these young guys up there now who are getting they're getting to experience what it's like to be on an NHL team playing for a Stanley Cup. If Vegas wins tonight or on Tuesday, the experience for these guys is going to be that much greater because you're putting a kid like Dylan Ferguson around Marc-Andre Fleury and allowing him to absorb from one of the greatest goaltenders of this generation. I mean, you can't put a price tag on that.
It's an invaluable experience. And another guy that, you know, you talk about no crybabies. How about a guy like Ryan Reeves that was brought over here specifically to toughen us up for the playoffs? Carrier kind of has taken that role as Ryan Reeves has been scratched every single night. And yet we saw him Friday joking around with Gallant. He accidentally flipped up a puck. It hit Gerard in the head. And Gerard looks at him like, you know, basically, did you do that on purpose because I keep scratching you? And it was a little comical, friendly gesture between the two of them, but it just showed you that everyone's loose, everyone understands their role, nobody's complaining, they are all focused on a common goal, and they are going to let nothing let them get derailed. And I love it about them. And the bottom line is, we talk about it all the time, it starts with the guy between the pipes, the most humble superstar I have ever met or been around in my life. And as a matter of fact, on Friday, I didn't know this because I haven't been to any practice this year. I just don't have time during the week. And I finally made it out. I had to go out there Friday to get to a practice. So I go out and, you know, we're watching. It was really, really cool. But these guys are something special. And I go to Marc-Andre Fleury and I wanted to get a little quote from him before the game and see how he was feeling. And he was smiled at me and he said, "Hey, I'm not allowed to do interviews during practice or after practice." He goes, "But I'll get you after the game tonight." And I pat him on the shoulder. True story. And I said, "I'll talk to you after you win tonight, Marc-Andre." After the game, you know, of course, the big melee starts with Fleury, the big media melee. I kind of waited till people walked away. I went over to him and he beckoned me like to come over here. And he said to me, he goes, "I owe you an interview from earlier." And I'm like, that is the coolest thing I have ever experienced in my life. That the dude remembered me in the locker room at practice, maybe because I was wearing the same clothes. But the point is, he went out of his way, and you can even hear it in the interview. But this is just Marc-Andre Fleury, incredible, Mag. Save after save. This is one of the saves that he made, in the game on Friday night before I talked to him.
Sharks win another offensive zone draw. Burns to the left and a shot. Knocked out of the air and wide. Rebound behind Fleury. It's underneath him and the whistle stops play. Oh, wow.
Better than usual. I thought there might be a chance that they turn it over.
That sounded like Nate Schmidt.
Yeah, that was from last week. Hold on, we'll get it.
One of the things about Fleury, you know, you talk about him being just the humblest, nicest guy. You know, Frank, our colleague here at Fox Sports Radio, he broke his neck earlier in the season. He was in a really bad car accident. Yeah. Marc-Andre Fleury would go out of his way to come up and talk to Frank and ask him how his neck was. You know, and to me,
that's unreal.
It's really unreal, you know. And he would, you know, one time he threw a towel across the room, not realizing Frank was there, and Frank had to kind of quickly, he's like, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry." He's like, "I didn't mean to make you move like that," you know, but it's just so cool. You know, the conversations I've had with him, we've talked about gummy bears and ice cream and fish tacos and protein bowls. I mean, we talked about dancing. That's what I talked to him about.
He pays attention,
yes,
and he's cognizant of the little things
he
that most
so
people...
He is so aware of everything, and that's why I think he is...
the greatest goaltender.
He's such a great goalie because he is so in tune with what is going on around him.
Agreed.
You know, and a lot of the guys will tell you, he talks to them on the ice. he sees a lot of things on the ice.
Well, I even talked to him about like Marcel Gold. He goes, yeah, I had a great view of it. I mean, but anyways, after the game, I got a chance to rap with him. And this is one of my favorite interviews of the year just because he went out of his way. And when the media scrum came back around, the second wave of the scrum came back to Fleury, he kept talking to me throughout the entire thing. It's like almost like he felt obligated because he wasn't able to talk to me at practice. And that's ridiculous, him be obligated for anything. But that is how cool this guy is. And I talked to Marc-Andre Fleury. Like I said, this is right after the game, and it was cool as hell.
Hey, Marc-Andre. Wow, how are you feeling right now after a game like that?
Back up for the game.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I figured I'd get you.
Okay. Sorry, how do you feel? Feels good, you know. It was busy third period. But all game long, I thought you guys were awesome. You know, let's get well, move the puck well, got some shots, got some goals, you know, and it's fun to watch. It's, building was loud, you know, the atmosphere was great. It was a fun night.
How about the first goal? How important was that at the end of the first period for James Neal to get that first goal?
That was big, you know. He's had a few pulls and a few knobs, and all. He's been all over the net, but couldn't get one in lately. So happy for him, you know. It should finally get a goal, and it was a huge one for us, definitely.
It really seemed to turn the game in your favor, and then killing off that first penalty that started the second period. That really seemed, and then you guys scored three goals, and it really changed the outcome of the game.
Yeah, that was big, you know. Power plays and penalty kills always a big momentum shift in the game, you know. And I thought we did great there. Big kill. The guys did awesome. And after that, you know, we got a few goals on ourselves, and it was nice.
The three goals that they scored in a very short period of time. What happened there? Was it you guys sitting back a little bit, maybe trying to protect the lead, or do you think they just really stepped up their game at the end?
I think they stepped it up. You know, they're a good team, right? They're skilled and they're good. And they had a lot of power plays to start the period, you know, and got some momentum off it. They got a goal off it, you know, and. I don't remember. Oh, the other one was a quick player on the net, right? Just battle, all quick in and out. And third one, same thing, put pucks to the net, you know, scramble. All these guys, you know, around me, around the guys. And you know, I don't think we played bad, you know. They were coming, and yeah, it was fine.
A lot of relief when that empty netter went in by Marchessault.
Yeah, it was great. I had a great view, and I was right behind it, and it was great. I was so happy. So happy to see it going, and the crowd was awesome, too. It was loud, you know. It was a good feeling.
Talk about the crowd here at T-Mobile Arena, what it means to you guys, and, I mean, you can't hear yourself thinking there.
Yeah, it's good, you know. It's sometimes we don't hear ourselves talking to each other on the net, but it makes the game better. It makes the game more fun, you know, more intense, and it's fun. It's fun to be part of it, fun to play here, and fun to have them behind us on our side.
Talk about how big of a win that is. How big of a win is that for you guys? Turk said earlier after practice, well, you still had another one if you didn't get this one, but now that it's over and you're up with two games still to go and you're up a game, how big?
They're all big, you know. Like the first one was big. They're all big, right? It doesn't matter when you get them in a series, as long as you win, you know, and they all matter. And you know, obviously it was nice to be home, get that win, you know, and just gonna rest, relax, and focus on the next one, and be ready for it.
Mark, you've been on a lot.
Marc-Andre Fleury, man, as cool as a cucumber, and he'll be going for it at the SAP Center in San Jose tonight. And, boy, I'd like to see him get it in Game 6. I don't want, you know, even though you love that crowd and the Game 7 atmosphere would be absolutely unbelievable. We've experienced some great games. I can imagine great Game 7, but I'd much rather see him win it in Game 6, get a couple days off, because whoever they play the Jets are looking awful tough. And that's kind of cool, because the one good thing about Winnipeg is the Vegas Golden Knights, we get home ice advantage, but I don't want it to come to a Game 7, one game. They have been beaten once in the playoffs here by the Sharks in Game 2, and you just don't want it to come down to one game. Martin Jones gets hot. You get Burns and freaking Kane on point, and next thing you know, you take one, and you don't want that to happen. So win it tonight.
Here's the thing. Look, when this thing started in October, first home game was October 10th. If you had said to anybody in the crowd that night, you would be guaranteed either a Game 7 in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, or possibly, two home games in the Western Conference Finals, because one of those two things is going to happen. I think every single person in that arena would have signed up for that, including the players, including the coach,
of course,
including the media. You know, I mean, think about it. we are guaranteed at least a game seven or two games in the Western Conference Finals. Yep. I mean, you can't make it up.
No, it's crazy. I mean, they're staring down getting into the final four of the NHL's playoffs this year, and that is just, again, we can go on and on about how ridiculous the team is. And, Mags, I've talked about this a few times, and, you know, I'm getting asked this all the time. You may get asked it as well, walking around with juries, like, what jersey should I get? And, man, it's become a head-scratcher. It took you 2 weeks to make a final decision because I'm buying your jersey. I'm like, man.
Yeah.
And this guy, 2 weeks to think about it. But I understand it. There are a lot of great numbers to choose from. And, you know, a lot of guys you can pretty much assume are going to be here down the road. But one guy that I'm telling everyone that I cannot imagine this team not paying and trying to lock up for the long haul is one of the youngest players on the team, and that is number 89, Alex Tuch. We are watching, and if you pardon an old pun, it's been remade twice, this movie called A Star Is Born, the most recent one in 76 with Barbara Streisand and Kris Kristofferson. Let me tell you, Alex Tuch is making part three of A Star Is Born, and we're watching it happen in front of our eyes here in Las Vegas. This guy gets better every single game, and I don't know how that's possible. He's lanky, he's long, he's strong. There is not a weakness of his game. He plays defense, and boy, can that guy handle the puck. Chris, you've liked him from day one, and you got a chance to talk with him after the game Friday night, and I sat there, I was standing by and listening. It was a great interview, but this guy is just a future superstar, and he already knows how to talk to the media pretty damn good.
Marchessault across to the top of the right circle. Carlson back to the middle. Theodore to the left. Out in front. Smith denied. Rebound. Score. Alex Tuch. 2-0 Vegas. 5 minutes into the second. It's a power play goal. Turn to the near wall. Lindbergh guides it out for Tuch. Right side. Eakin into the zone. Returns it for Tuch. Tip power. Alex Tuch. Oh my. Second of the game for Tuch. The Knights lead it 4-0.
Your line played really well tonight. I mean, culminating with the pass from Eakin and then your goal. Could you just really talk about your line play tonight, the rest of the guys on your line?
Yeah, I thought both of those guys played really, honestly, really strong games. They were making unbelievable plays. They were always supporting. We were all supporting each other, and we were talking. And honestly, we picked up where we left off probably about a month ago when we'd been playing together for about, I don't know, 4 months probably, and or in and out, I guess you could say. And I know how both those guys play, and they know how I play. And we had chemistry right away, and I thought it was a really good game by both of them.
Sunday morning, Out of Line, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, radio home of the Vegas Golden Knights, and we're all about the Vegas Golden Knights here. And a new friend of mine, a guy that I ran into up in the press box during game one or two of the Vegas Golden Knights series, but one of my favorite guys to listen to during the week, man, JT the Brick, and he happened to call in today, and we really appreciate it. I guess I had the wrong number last week, because when I saw the tweet, the text message I got from JT today, it was a different number, so my bad. JT, welcome to Out of Line, man.
Good to be on. I appreciate it, especially with the Golden Knights on this unbelievable epic run.
Man, well, I took a page out of your book, and the local show I know you've dedicated to the Golden Knights, and I kind of have done the same thing here on Sunday. To me, it's the only thing to talk about in town right now. I know we've got the Aces starting up tonight at the WNBA, but this is absolutely amazing, JT. What have you taken out of this, man? Because I tell everyone, I'm out of adjectives to describe this team.
Yeah, what it's done for the community is incredible, and this fan base is second to none right now as an inaugural fan base that stepped up with season tickets and showing up and really understanding the sport so quickly. But my big takeaway is how good this team is, and I've said this from the times that I've watched the team live and especially on TV. I can't believe how they've been coached up and how great their chemistry is, especially on the offensive side, where they know where their teammates are, when they dump the puck, when they throw it back around the boards, where everybody is, and the chemistry of this team. It looks like a team that's been playing 3 to 4 seasons together with the same group and the same lines. And that's what's amazing to me, is the fact that George McPhee put this team together. Everybody checked their egos at the door, and Gerard Gallant's getting the most out of all of them. Some epic years for several players on this team, and especially Fleury, who's standing on his head most nights.
Yeah, without question, the unquestioned humble leader of the Vegas Golden Knights on the ice, Marc-Andre Fleury, and of course the Turk, Gerard Gallant, off the ice, just seems to keep fitting the right pieces in the right places, and it has absolutely been amazing. JT, this team down the road, as you mentioned, it's a team that looks like they've been playing together for a while. Can you see this team after this year? I know they've got some unbelievable kids coming up that they got in the draft last year, but is this something that you see a prolonged thing, or do you think it might have just been the fever of this season, and next season you'll see something completely different?
Well, that's a great question. You know the draft picks and who's coming up better than me, but it would be a shame to lose this momentum. Now, McPhee really has an opportunity to pick and choose who he's going to add to the chemistry of this roster, who he's going to sign long-term, who he wants back. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And at this point, I would keep this team, the core of this team, and then just add players that you're confident are going to fit in perfectly and bring up the young players possibly a little bit slower than expected. But here's the thing, and I think you get this because hockey's interesting. You'll have a hot team one year. You could have a Winnipeg, Nashville last year. You could see a team like Pittsburgh that's been hot for a number of years. And then there's a team like the Vegas Golden Knights, and probably not a perfect example because they're an expansion team, but a team that hits it right every 3 to 4 years and makes a run to the cup. So we don't know if this is going to happen again next year. We don't know if it's going to happen for the next 3 years. You can get knocked out in the first round. You might miss the playoffs one year when you're expected to do good. Now it's about drinking from the cup. This team's got to put this series away in San Jose tonight and then hope they get added rest and play a really good team for the Western Conference Finals. Now everything has to be dialed in completely right, and I think Gallant will do that.
Talking to JT the Brick, you hear him Fox Sports Radio every Monday through Friday. You got the local show starting at 4, and then after an hour of that, you get him and Tom Looney on the national show. It's fantastic. Appreciate you joining this show, JT. You know, we talked about a little bit when we were talking about some of the stars of this team and up-and-coming guys, and I know you've really been dialed in lately. I told you we were talking about defense and how good I thought Shea Theodore, one of the younger players, was going to be. And how about this kid, Alex Tuck, at 21 years old? You know, you're looking for down-the-road superstars. You got Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin, Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews, so many of these guys that are playing at an elite level. I look at Alex Tuck, JT, as a kid that we are going to be talking about for years and somebody that's going to be a perennially all-star, and I think the ceiling is absolutely as high as it gets for this kid.
Absolutely. I agree with you. He's a great young player in this league, and he hasn't even found his ultimate rhythm yet as a veteran in years to come, and he's playing in so many big games and coming through in so many big games. That's what this was so great about this regular season. There were so many different types of wins, come from behind, overtime, shootout wins, you know, holding on to the lead. And young players like that are gaining experience as they go deeper into the playoffs, and you can't put a price tag on all that. There's so many individual stories about players who were left unprotected. Other teams didn't believe in them, and now they come to Vegas, and they're part of this great chemistry. And that's another point I want to make. You know, nationally, I hear a lot of fans, and you see it more on Twitter, saying, well, this will never happen again. They were given a break in the draft, and they, you know, had an unfair advantage as an expansion team. That is bogus. These players were left unprotected. Other players were drafted. Of course, Marc-Andre Fleury is the cornerstone of this franchise, but the majority of these players were available to other teams, and McPhee landed them. So I don't want to hear that anymore as we go deeper, because the haters are about to start coming out. Canada has got Winnipeg left. Pittsburgh's got a really big fan base. Obviously, San Jose isn't dead yet. But more and more fans nationally who don't understand what's happened out here in Vegas are going to start saying anybody but the Knights, because there's been too many teams waiting for 40, 50, 30, 25 years to win the cup. And if the Knights come in there and win it in their inaugural season, it's going to piss a lot of people off.
Oh, no question. And it transcends across sports, too, because being a Detroit fan, and we talked a little bit about that in the press box, too. Hey, I'm a diehard Lions fan. And from Detroit, watching an expansion team do this right off the get-go, and the Lions have won one playoff game in the Super Bowl era, it's starting to transcend sports to even other ones. Like, man, this is ridiculous. How can this possibly happen? And you talk about about George McPhee, the maestro, the orchestra leader. I mean, this guy, the tie-in to Herbie Brooks, you know, he played at Bowling Green along with Wells and Mark Wells, and also one of my favorite players ever in Kenny Morrow, a guy you know for the Islanders, and he played with them at Bowling Green, so he had played with a lot of these guys. Then he gets to go play for the Rangers, who Herbie Brooks happened to be coaching, and that's really where he says a lot of Herbie Brooks rubbed off on him in those 2 years, and boy, are we seeing that here. Miracle on Ice Part 2, and like I said, JT, and I really like what you're saying, to educate the audience on hockey is the deal is, man, if this team, put it this way, I don't even want to put this out there, but if they lose the next two games and are done, please understand this was still one of the most magical thing any sports fan will ever see in his life, right?
Absolutely, and that's why it's so important that this team get to the next round, because, again, you can't go out losing your final two to a team that I think they're better than. And San Jose's got some great veterans and guys who have been close before, but this is a very unique opportunity. And as you were mentioning, Kenny Morrow, and you saw the news on Mr. Torrey passing this week, and I grew up with Al Arbor and the Islanders winning four cups. Ken Morrow won the Olympic gold medal and then comes to the Islanders and wins four cups in a row as a rookie through his first 4 years. That'll never, ever, ever happen again in sports history. Who's going to win an Olympic gold medal and four championships? And I grew up with the Islanders as part of my DNA, and I never thought I'd give them up. And I've been telling this story on my show, is that the reason I gave up the Islanders, and it was a tough decision, was because this was an expansion team, an inaugural expansion team. If this team moved from Arizona, if they moved from Florida, I'd be into it, I'd root for them, but I'd have no allegiance to this team. The fact that they moved here as an expansion team gave everybody a window to say, okay, you got to make a sports decision now. Are you all in or not? I'm disappointed on how many fans still are not all in. They say, well, I'll wear my Blackhawk jersey when they come to town, but I'm a Golden Knights fan. No, you're not. You're a Blackhawks fan. Make the decision before this team wins the Stanley Cup that you're a fan of this team in Las Vegas and go all in with them.
You know, I gotta take that with JT, because it's funny. You know, it's awfully tough being from Hockey Town and a Detroit Red Wings fan to make that statement. But JT, it's, ironically, I am wearing right now the shirt that says, I am from Detroit. But I cheer for the Vegas Golden Knights. I got the shirt on right now in the studio. Absolutely the truth. I am all in, and I love what I'm seeing. It is goosebump material. The hair on your arm stand up. I tell everyone, I know it's a pricey ticket, but in 3 years from now, you won't remember the $400 you spent to go to T-Mobile Arena to see this team play, but you will remember the experience of what you get in T-Mobile Arena when the puck drops for this team. It is one of the most electrifying, amazing things. And JT, I've been asked, how can you describe what it's like inside that stadium? Here's what I say. Uncle Fester, move over. Give me a light bulb, because I know if I stick it in my mouth, it's going to light up, right?
Yeah, it's something that I've never seen before, and I've seen a lot of great sporting events, and this is Vegas. Vegas got it. They understood the opening, cranking the horn, you know, bringing out the drum line, doing everything with the performance before the game on the ice, and that's a big part of it. Remember, you got fans who came in this year, and, you know, I'm working during the week, as you know, so I can't get to the weeknight games, and when I was going on the weekends and seeing the Philadelphia fans or the Vancouver fans, the fans that were coming in, many of them were coming in for their only game of the year in Las Vegas, and they all walked out blown away by the experience. The experience of being in T-Mobile, to see what this is about 10 minutes before the puck is dropped, to the last blow of the horn when they win, is really a great experience. And that feels like a nightclub. Every time I walk into a bar or I'm walking from one concourse to the next, I'm bumping into people I know. You see people in the community. Everybody's having a good time. I wish it wasn't such a tough ticket. I really do, because I think there's a lot of people in the Valley who would love to go to one game. They'd love to see a game. But the way these prices are now in the secondary market, just sit back on TV and watch it, or go to the many viewing parties. I think these viewing parties are a great idea. The Vegas Golden Knights really know how to connect with the community.
No question about it. And I tell everyone, look, man, Cirque du Soleil has been here forever. It'll continue to be here. The O Show is great. But if you got to see one performance, man, save up, save those pennies and go see the Vegas Golden Knights. He's JT the Brick. Catch him on Fox Sports Radio Monday through Friday. Most of you know, man, the local show now is fantastic. He has completely dedicated that to the Vegas Golden Knights while this run continues. And then, of course, three more hours of him and Tom Looney nationally. Really appreciate appreciate you calling in today, JT.
Thanks, my friend. Anytime. Love coming on. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Listen, we're going to take a real quick break. Running behind, we've got Alan Snell and LVSportsBiz.com coming up with the LV Sports Biz Minute. You want to check that out as we talk a little bit about the WNBA. And I got a special birthday with the wish that is coming your way right after the break.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. This is why I'm hot.
This is why I'm hot. One of the all-time greats, Marilyn Monroe, singing Happy Birthday, Mr. President. Well, he's not the president of the United States, but he's definitely the president, the founder, and the guru of our family. My dad, Dr. Irwin Feldman. I want to know what's hotter, because it's blazing, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango, a Hail Mary pass from Centennial Hills Hospital, two happy hours every day, and of course I'm out there every Monday night during football season, and we are giving away replica jerseys, wing parties, it's pretty cool, so again, blazing, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, but what is more blazing, a 52-year-old man riding the back of a gigantic animal and winning the Kentucky Derby, which was pretty cool. Hall of Famer Mike Smith did that yesterday. Or an 80-year-old man that is still practicing medicine, healing people, taking care of people, and doing fine. And, man, I'm about to play golf with this guy on Wednesday. Dad, welcome to Out of Line, man, and seriously, happy birthday.
Oh, thanks, Brian. How are you?
You know, I'm great. I'm so damn good. I can hardly stand it, as my buddy Scott Harris would say. But, Dad, looking really forward to coming back to Detroit. And real quickly, I got to ask you, what do you think of this Vegas Golden Knights team that we're experiencing out here in Las Vegas?
I tell you, being a Red Wing fan and from Detroit, the Wings have won so many Stanley Cups and done so well, and they're not even in the playoffs, and this team is in their first year and in the playoffs. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Amazing.
You know, I was saying, Dad, too, I was telling, you know, and I want to thank him again, JT the Brick, for calling in and coming on my show. What an honor that was a few minutes ago. But, you know, it's crazy, Dad. JT was talking about how you're either all in, you got to kind of either go for this team. Like, for me, it's so hard to leave the Red Wings and go to the Golden Knights. But us Lions fans, and I said it's transcending sports, here we've won one playoff game in the Super Bowl era in my lifetime, which spans over a half a century. And here the Golden Knights are one win away from going to the conference finals in their first year of existence, just to point out how amazing what they're doing is, right?
Yeah, it is amazing. It's going to be really something if they go on and win.
All right, well, Dad, listen, I don't want to keep you. I want you to go enjoy your festivities. One real quick thing I have to ask you before I let you go, though. Tiger Woods has come back. My dad, a huge golf enthusiast, one of the biggest Jack Nicklaus fans ever. Dad, do you think this comeback is going to be real, and do you think he's still got a chance of maybe catching Jack in that major, the major record that he has?
I don't think he's going to maybe catch Jack in a major, but I think he's going to come back and win a couple of tournaments.
Would love to see it. But, Dad, listen, I'll see you in a couple days in Detroit. Hopefully the Knights will win it tonight so I'm not sweating trying to make my red-eye flight Tuesday because I'm not going to miss the game. But, Dad, happy birthday. I love you, and I'll see you in a couple days.
Bye-bye. Take care.
All right. Hey, listen, we're really short on time. I'm going to jump right back out to the phone lines. I have Alan Snell, LVSportsBiz.com. Great article very recently about the WNBA and Bill Laimbeer. What's up, Alan?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Talk to me about the WNBA, my friend. Revamp Mandalay Bay Event Center, and tonight, first exhibition game. How successful do you think this team is going to be in the wake of what's going on at T-Mobile Arena?
Well, listen, they had 6 months to launch this pro team, so I think they have a challenge in terms of creating a new brand and introducing it to the public, but they've been out there, and... remember the owners of MGM Resorts International. They have quite a promotion and rebranding infrastructure, which is really good. So you've seen everything from the digital billboards and their marquees in front of their properties to radio spots. And like you said, they're going to have a really nice new venue, which I'm going to take a look at today before the hockey game. As you mentioned, it's the first preseason game for the Las Vegas Aces. They'll have about 7,000 to 7,500 new seats. They've actually replaced all the seating. New center hung Jumbotron scoreboard was pieced together and assembled and installed, so you'll get a look at that. And, they, from what I understand, they plan to put on quite a in-game entertainment show, especially after, you know, what the Golden Knights have done this year.
Well, that's what's going to be interesting is all the marketing events. It is going to be a show. And check them out. I'm really bummed that we ran so low on time today, but some great guests. Alan Snell, LVSportsBiz.com, over 50,000 subscribers. Be one of them, people. This guy gives you a completely different perspective. I love reading every article, and you can see it every day. Alan, appreciate you, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, listen, have a great trip back home, man. See you, Brian.
I appreciate it. Listen, this is Out of Line. We are here every Sunday, 8 to 9 a.m., right here on the flagship station of the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Want to thank Jose Volonte for taking care of things. He's got an interview with Bill Lambert. I'm going to make sure you hear next week. Magnum, my producer, JT the Brick, for calling in. That was awesome. Alan Snell, and, of course, Marc-Andre Fleury. Appreciate your time after Game 5 on Friday night. Tonight, Vegas Golden Knights, 7 o'clock, Vegas. Let's do it. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. I'll be in Detroit. The guys will be here. Bye-bye.